Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Around 2, going on 3 years old for mine. Grandpa, Daddy, what's up, man?
Bang, bang, night of day. What's up, Joe? It's Madone. Man, you're making my day, man. 580 sucks right now. Oh, my God. Freaking hate 580, dude.
I feel you.
Yeah, we do have daughters. 5 and 3, dog.
Let's go.
Love you guys.
Hell yeah. How we feeling about Brock? Hey. How we feeling about Brock, Grandpa?
Man, check this out, man. I'm loving this. This is going. I have faith in Kyle. Kyle's the man, bro. He's smart, bro. You watch this. Bang, bang, Donovan. He's going to scheme up something. Matt Jones is going to rise the occasion. This is a good time to see what you made of, baby. This is not a must-win. It's not a division rival. Good time to test the waters, baby. Have faith, Joe. I know you do. Love you guys.
Let's go.
I'll work myself up into a frenzy by Sunday morning.
You will.
You promise that.
LJ's going to have a Mac Jones jersey by Monday.
Okay, so they are 11-31 without Jimmy, without Brock. They're 7-12 without Kittle. So if you combine those things, it would tell you, like, if you're just looking for, like, the mean or the middle ground, they're significantly under 500 without, you know, a good quarterback and a Hall of Fame tight end.
It's a great point from the 707 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorney's text line. Mac would start for the team we're playing this weekend. I actually believe that. I think Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Spencer Rattler.
You know what? That is a good point.
That's like, he is.
Okay.
So we have the better head coach. We have the better quarterback this week. You should win the game. There you go. Sometimes it's as simple as that, Joe. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
The better quarter, okay, we do that thing, and I do it, I'm guilty. Oh, the better quarterback, teams win and lose.
No, absolutely. Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback than Justin Herbert. Doesn't mean that the Chiefs were supposed to, like, they didn't win last week. That happens. Justin Herbert is not as good as Patrick Mahomes, but you know what? On that day, he was, and the team won. So, yes, maybe Spencer Rattler will be better than Mac Jones this week, and the Saints win. And then we can have the conversation. And then I might use the P word, panic. But I'm not there yet.
I did, okay.
What? Am I putting words in your mouth? I apologize.
Well,
I don't
like
need to
the,
do that.
The whole, like, you lose Brock Purdy, nothing to see here. You lose George Kittle,
nothing to see here.
Bring on the Saints. Like, this isn't, in your words, this isn't like Bama versus Turkey Tech U, all right?
I love Turkey
Tech. This is the NFL.
You have an appropriate fear. I know. God, look at you.
The Niners once lost to Johnny Manziel, for Christ's sake, and you expect me to sleep on the New Orleans Saints? We lost to Johnny Manziel.
I hear you, but you know
do
what?
Do you hear me?
I do.
Johnny Manziel.
Colt McCoy.
They lost to Colt. Colt McCoy didn't just look good. He looked like Joe Montana.
Eno Benjamin. Just, who was it? Dre Kirkpatrick.
This thing that we just, like, I love how, like, when we just look at the schedule, we're like, victory, victory. This team sucks. That team sucks. Like, every team has some good players. I mean, come on. They're not just going to roll over.
Kyle Shanahan, you're mentioning George Kittle, and that is a big loss. I'd like that. That's the one that we're not, like, because that is, when you think of a backup quarterback coming in, what's the ultimate, we always, old cliche, the ultimate safety blanket for a quarterback is what? It's a tight end.
Yeah.
Like, that, for any quarterback, well, but especially a backup.
Christian McCaffrey, who's also now in week two after what he went through last week, so let's see what he looks like this week. And
eyes on McCaffrey for this week, for sure. Like, again, going to the Superdome, going to that artificial surface, what's the workload going to look like? Are we going to see more from Brian Robinson? We just had Moose Johnson on, and he was saying, yeah, maybe that's why you bring in, you know, Brian Robinson. Why? Like, that's why he's here. That's why you have a Mac Jones back. Like, the backups are going to be tested early on, way earlier than I think a lot of fans were going to recognize and wanted to recognize. And listen, I don't want Brock Purdy to be hurt, but we all kind of agreed, Joe, in this offseason, there was going to be a moment that Mac Jones was going to start. Like, we all kind of thought that was a possibility.
I was kind of hoping it would be farther down the line on the season.
Week 13, 14, yeah, exactly.
Where I had a better feel for the team.
Right. Not week two, and I understand that's why a lot of people have some trepidation.
We still just don't know what this team is.
No, we don't. We don't. Because it's funny, because this time last year, after 2 weeks, the New Orleans Saints had blown out two teams. The New Orleans Saints, who we all think stink this season, or going to stink this season, they looked incredible in the first 2 weeks last year. And then what happened?
Yeah, the bottom fell out.
They pooped the bed.
I mean, if I'm a Saints
fan... Derek Carr retired, and Dennis Allen's a defensive coordinator somewhere else.
If I'm a Saints fan, you know what I'm thinking? They're going to play Mac Jones, and they don't have Kittle. Like, that's... I'm just saying what, like, a Saints fan would be saying.
Oh, they feel like they have hope to win this week.
Exactly.
Sure. Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely, they're going to feel that way. But also, if you're a Saints fan, you have no room to talk if you have Spencer Rattler as your starting quarterback. 888-957-9570.
I kind of liked him in college. I know everybody else hated him. Like, I'm rooting for him.
It was more so, I think, the attitude stuff that came out.
That I agree
with. You know, it was, like, weird. Like, his whole, like, video journey dialogue, and he was like a jerk to other people. Like, so it was more so that than the actual talent, because clearly he showed at South Carolina that he has the talent for it. By the way, you know why I also feel kind of confident about this team going forward, Joe? It has nothing to do with the offense. And maybe this is a week one overreaction. What Robert Saleh did with that defense last week in Seattle gives me so much more faith in this team that they can weather this September storm going forward with a potential backup quarterback and Mac Jones for whether it's 2, 3, 4 weeks. I don't know. But if you keep it close, you got a chance. And I really believe that with the addition of Robert Saleh, the Niners are going to be in all these games. I do, because you still have Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, Lenore, and what I saw them do late in that game yesterday had me very encouraged.
Would you agree that even if Brock was in this game, these games are tight.
Yes.
Early on, you know, Kyle's not just going to throw the ball around all over the place. That stadium is loud.
It is.
Historically, it is really giving the Niners fits.
Yes.
A lot of false starts, a lot of pre-snap infractions. Like, that stadium, and look, we're going to remember right in the first quarter, because it's going to get super loud, and one of our guys is going to false start or line up incorrectly, or we're going to get an illegal shift, and we're going to go, oh, the crowd noise here, I'm on the sideline, and, you know, this is what the decibels are. Like, the Superdome's been around forever, and it's a very loud venue, so it might elevate whatever weaknesses that they have for even just a quarter or two and help them out.
Did I do the legal, Sam? Thumbs up. I did. Great. So I can go to Morgan and Morgan Hill that wants to join the conversation.
Hey, Morgan.
Morgan, you're on the morning roast, or the Morgan roast.
Thanks for taking my call. I got to agree with Shatsky in terms of the sense of urgency on for this game, because in the NFL, you just cannot waste losses on bad teams. And I think this is just not a game that we should lose, considering that we might be without Brock for 5 weeks. We need this buffer. But the silver lining, or the optimism that I have with Mac Jones, is when I think about quarterbacks in the NFL, the coaches and the play scheme matter just so much. And so, like, I think about Sam Darnold, who was horrible until he got to the Vikings with their head coach, who seems like a great head coach, and he played so well last year. And then there's Baker Mayfield, who was bad with the Cleveland Browns, but then now with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we think he's a good quarterback. So Mac Jones, I mean, that situation in New England and then Jacksonville, I don't think anybody thinks that those are good situations. So I'm kind of intrigued to see what Kyle Shanahan can do with Mac Jones in this system, and so, but I'll still be watching on pins and needles, because we need to get this win, in my opinion.
As bummed as I am about Purdy and Kittle, I would be lying to you if I didn't say there wasn't an intrigue in wanting to see Mac Jones.
Absolutely. Like, there's a major
intrigue. I think there's an intrigue for all of us.
888-957-9570. I see K Bueno, Bob, Sean Paul, the Sean Paul in Oakland. We'll get to all of you, I promise. But this, there is so much in so many angles in this game, Joe, that it is actually kind of absurd. First off, you've already had all these injury concerns at quarterback for years now under Kyle Shanahan. You moved off of Trey Lance. You moved off of Jimmy Garoppolo. You paid Brock Purdy to be the guy. He was the last pick in the NFL draft 4 years ago, you almost used the number three overall draft pick to draft the guy who is now the backup on your team now in Mac Jones. All of that just sounds insane, but it's crazy how the NFL works sometimes. And, you know, we like to say, oh, God works in mysterious ways. No, the NFL works in mysterious ways. And Mac Jones has a chance to not shock the world is strong, but he has a chance to, you know, kind of do what Sam Darnold did in San Francisco, which was kind of like retool his image. And that's why I am rooting for him. I am rooting for the guy to, you know, be more of the quarterback we saw in New England in that rookie season. Well, and I think he can be still.
Steve Young is probably the most extreme example of, you know, a guy off the bench coming in and playing for somebody else in times of crisis or injury or whatever. Right. But the Niners have a long history of this.
Yes.
John Brody replacing Y.A. Tittle. You know, obviously, DeBerg and Joe Montana early on. You got Garcia going in after searching for different quarterbacks after Steve Young got knocked out. You got the whole Tim Rattay, Dorsey saga. Alex obviously getting hurt out of nowhere, and Kaepernick and him, and him taking his job. And at one time, Sean Hill took Alex Smith's job. J.T. Sullivan took his job. You've had this as a history for the Niners for years on end. I mean, you just never know when someone gets that start, what might happen and where they run with it, or, you know, what they don't do with it. I remember we were like, Alex Smith, boo, get him out of here. We want Carr.
Right.
And Carr went out there. This is Derek Carr's brother, David, threw one pass, and everyone looked at each other. Kansas City was like, yeah, he sucks too.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember
right.
that. We were chanting, we want Carr. We saw one pass fluttered to the outside. We were like, yeah, we were wrong.
I want Derek Carr right here on the River Islands guest line. Somehow, I want to get to it. He was really good on that YouTube TV broadcast last week. He's retired now, and I didn't even know he was going to be on the broadcast. I think everyone was shocked. Like, I don't know what to expect of these YouTube broadcasts. And he was impressive doing the telestrator. Maybe, just maybe, Derek Carr could be one of those rare situations where he was a better broadcaster than he was a quarterback. Now, people are going to poo-poo. He sucked as a quarterback. He was in a pretty bad organization. That's all I'm going to say. Just like Mac Jones has been since that first year with the Patriots, he's had a collection of poo-poo when it comes to offensive coordinators. We'll dive more into this on the other side. Plus, and this is a little tease for you, we got a big announcement for this show on the other side.
Really?
That you do not want to miss. And it's going to be brought to you by Safeway.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I've always said, yeah, I think he's a top 10 quarterback. I think Mac Jones in the right system could be a top 15 quarterback. Yeah.
Then why is Mac Jones on a two-year deal for $3 million a year?
Because he was given a poo-poo platter after his rookie season. Josh McDaniels left after his offensive coordinator at the time, after an incredible year, became head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Bill Belichick does not know what to do with his coaches outside of having Josh McDaniels and Tom Brady. Let's bring in a guy that doesn't know anything about offense and Matt Patricia, a defensive guy. Let's let him help out. Let's bring in Joe Judge, who what was he, a special teams guy? Let's have him do the offense. Yeah, that'll help my young quarterback succeed. Like, they failed him so badly in New England. He had to go to Jacksonville to be a backup with Trevor. You know how bad you have to be to fail in New England and then go be Trevor Lawrence's backup there in Jacksonville, try to revamp your mind and everything there. He gets an opportunity last year, shows something, some flashes, wins a couple games as a backup on a bad team where they fired their coach. So, yeah, I am defending Mac a little bit here. I don't think it's his fault that he has failed after his rookie season. I don't.
So I want to make sure that I have this very clear. And I'm not trying to, like, do a gotcha. You think he can be a top 15 quarterback or is a top four?
I think he can be in the right situation. Yes.
Okay.
I truly believe that.
Maybe.
I don't think it's that insane. He's been given a very tough hand to start out. Kind of like how we give grace to, you know, Alex Smith, who was labeled a bust at one time. And then he kind of jumped himself back into the top 15 quarterback conversation when he was a Kansas City Chief, right? I think we could all agree on that.
I never thought that Alex Smith was a top 12 quarterback in the NFL.
I didn't say
12.
I said 15.
Well, I'm going to just say 12, like, in general. I think Alex was always dramatically overrated because he's a nice guy.
And why are we talking about Mac Jones? The latest news, if you're just joining us, Brock Purdy, according to Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, expected to be out 2 to 5 weeks with a turf toe variant injury. Are we panicking, Niner fans, about the news of the quarterback going down? 888-957-9570. We'll go to the phone lines shortly, Joseph.
Yeah, I don't know where to go with this match.
Look,
are what you are. Like, yes. So right now, he's on the outside looking in of the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, and you know, you're only as good as your recent tape. Was there a time where Jimmy Garoppolo was inside the top 15? Yeah, inside the top 10. Yeah, do I believe that today? Not a chance in hell.
That's fine,
right? And so, like, today, I don't believe Mac Jones is there. No, hey, look. 3 weeks from now, they go 3-0, and Max swashbuckling without George Kittle. We're going to have a whole different conversation. I'm just going off what I saw in the preseason where he was staring guys down and throwing picks, and I mean, that's all I saw, right?
I mean, preseason, you're trying out new things. You're trying to do some new stuff. So, you know, it's kind of like spring training for pitchers.
Joe, I'm not crushing him. I'm just telling you, this is the last things I've seen. It was him throwing some picks where he stared down some receivers. So I think it's difficult for me to say he's in the top 15 as a backup quarterback who got a chance to play last year with Jacksonville. No one wanted, and then he got a two-year, $3 million a year deal.
Real quick.
That's all.
Don't you put words in my mouth. I said, in the right situation,
apologies.
Mac Jones,
apologies,
can be a top 15 quarterback. He showed that in New England in a full season. Kyle Shanahan, your faith in Mac Jones is what?
Mac knows how to play the position. He can play well in the pocket, distributes the ball well, sees coverage as well, can play fast in there. He's got a lot of good film from the NFL with his experience and obviously college. Tough guy will hang in there and deliver the ball where it needs to go.
There you go. That's the head coach. He's got belief in him. Does Bob in San Francisco have belief in them?
I mean, I love Kyle. Kyle believed in C.J. Beathard when I didn't.
You
so.
Have to be. You got to believe it. Hey, Bob.
Brian Hoyer.
Bob, are you panicking right hey, now Bob. With the hey, Purdy
Bob.
Injury?
Hey, Bob.
Not at all. A couple of things. Better to happen now than later in the season. And the other thing is, it worked for Sam Darnold to come here and play backup. How come it can't work for Mac Jones, right? And also, I'm a little intrigued with this Mike White. I think they got him as a third stringer, I hope. I mean, he might be able to resurrect his career here. So basically, there's nothing wrong if you ever played in the NFL, there's nothing wrong with coming back and learning.
So we got three top 15 quarterbacks on
Bob,
the roster.
Bob.
Mike White.
Bob.
We got Mac
Jones.
Is he still
there? Bob, you still there?
I love it. I love
yeah,
it.
I'm here.
I love
I'm
it.
Here.
What career are you referring to with Mike White?
That Jets game.
Well, all I'm saying is that he can relearn how to play the position. And that's what you come to San Francisco for.
Got it.
I'm not
okay.
saying that he's a starter. I'm not saying I'm relying on him. I'm just saying it's a good move on his part to come here and learn something.
There you
and
go.
I think the
okay.
Same thing with Mac Jones.
Gotcha. All right. It wasn't a gotcha, but it was just he said he needs to revitalize his career. I was like, well, Mike White hasn't had a career. He really hasn't done anything in the NFL. Yeah, that one game as the Jets quarterback, as you mentioned, Joe, where he looked incredible. He did. He looked like the greatest quarterback ever for a moment.
No, he didn't. He
no,
looked
no,
good.
He did
he
in that
good.
Game.
No, he did not
he
look like the greatest quarterback ever. He just looked good. This is the part of what I have. Spadoni,
like, yeah,
stop
he did.
It. He did not look like the greatest quarterback ever. What are you guys talking about?
I had him in daily fantasy that day. He was
He
incredible.
Had a great day. He looked like the greatest quarterback ever. People what
said,
are you guys
People
talking
said
about?
That about Nick Mullins after that Raiders
Josh
game.
Josh Allen play for 5+ years at unreal levels.
I'm not a Josh Allen guy. You know that.
What?
I'm not.
And I'm supposed to take you serious on Mac Jones.
I just said I'm not a Josh
I mean,
Allen guy.
On,
That's okay.
No, I'm not
a
Josh.
I'm a Lamar Jackson guy. It's like it's...
Who says you can't like both?
Who was it?
Why does it have to be either
it's
or?
Jacob or Edward from Twilight? It's the same thing.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. It's Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen.
Like,
I'm Team Lamar.
I'm a Bonds guy. I can't ever like Tony Gwynn. Like, what?
Well, you're either a Maguire guy or a Bonds guy.
What are you talking about? Like, Maguire was great. I mean, wasn't as great as Bonds,
yeah,
but
see, there you go.
But he was great. You know? No, he wasn't. Like that's like statistically and
yeah,
historically.
I know that. I'm a Bonds guy. See, you don't have to tell me. But you got to tell the Maguire guys no. that. You okay over there? You're struggling.
He said Mike White looked like the greatest quarterback who ever played.
I'm telling you, in that one game.
That's called a great game.
Hold on, I need to pull it up. In the meantime,
Antoine Jameson looked like the greatest NBA player ever when he scored 50, and Kobe also scored 50.
Hey, Daryl Moose Johnston, who's going to be on the call this Sunday.
These takes are just...
He's going to be on the call for Fox Sports' Kevin Kugler.
Oh, my God.
This was his reaction with us on the Brock Purdy injury front about an hour and a half ago. If you missed any of that interview, find it on YouTube or the Odyssey app.
A little bit of disappointment. Always enjoy the opportunity to visit with Brock Purdy. I think it's been a great story. We had, years ago, had his first start of his NFL career and kind of was able to have a couple of games down the stretch that season. So I just think he's one of the good guys that's in the NFL and always enjoy our opportunity to visit with him. So just from a personal standpoint, that'll be disappointing. But Mac is great, too. We got an opportunity to visit with him a couple of times. And I really think that, they're very similar in their style of play and what they bring to the table at the quarterback position. So it shouldn't impact Kyle's offense too much. So I'm actually very excited to see what Kyle does for the adjustments. So he's very creative and one of the better coaches in the NFL from an offensive side of the football. So it's going to be fun to watch what he has in store for the Saints defense.
I'm kind of like what Moose is saying. I'm excited to see what it looks like with Mac Jones. You got to pivot a little bit here and maybe try to cater to more of his skill sets. I would say he has a better, like a stronger arm than Purdy, Joe. I don't think that's that crazy to say. But are 49er fans panicking right now in regards to the Brock Purdy injury news? That's what we're talking about. What's so funny?
I can't get over the Mike White game. I'm looking at it right here.
Did you see it?
Okay, 400 yards and 3 touchdowns.
That's his first ever start in the NFL.
Norm Van Brocklin threw for almost 600 and like 7 touchdowns.
Was Mike White even like, was he undrafted?
It was his first ever start.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But he didn't look like the greatest quarterback ever. He had a great game.
It was a 5th round pick 171. It was, again, in the game he did, in the context of everything. Mike White, if you Google search it, he's also the guy that created the White Lotus series. He's the director and like the creator of it. So there you go.
This Mike White.
Not the same one. Maybe his cousin.
What now? You just.
It's just a different.
Just because they have the same name doesn't mean they're related.
Sam. Maybe. What am I working with today?
We're having a good time.
I'm the one who's supposed to be tired. I had the event last night.
I'm not tired at all. I feel great. I feel energized. I feel like Mac Jones feels today. Sean Paul is in Oakland. Sean Paul. What's up, Sean Paul?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
As you were saying, Spadoni, that year that Mac Jones took the Patriots to the playoffs, he actually made the Pro Bowl and had 3,800 yards, what, like 23 touchdowns. And he didn't have good wide receivers. What was his number one receiver? Kendrick Bourne, which, I mean, that's probably a good thing with their connection now. But I just think it's going to come down to defense. Having Eddie Pinheiro is going to be great because, if we were running into this game with Jake Moody, it'd be a whole different ball game. And then the offensive line, like whatever quarterback you have, like I feel like with Purdy, part of the reason he gets hurt every year is because the offensive line isn't that good. So it's about how they gel this week. And I think Mac Jones is not this slouch that everyone's making out to be. He went to Alabama, what?
No,
did he win?
I don't think anyone,
national championship?
No one thinks he's a slouch. It's just...
Thanks, Sean Paul.
Tyler Huntley made the Pro Bowl. Like, again, guys, we've got to have a little
perspective. Oh, come on. Mac Jones is better than Tyler Huntley.
I agree.
Come on.
I agree, but we just throw things around. Can we just, guys, I know we all want to go to the moon. I know we want to go to the Mars. Can we just stay grounded on Earth every now and then when discussing quarterbacks, the NBA, Major League Baseball? Not everything is the greatest thing I've ever seen because it just happened last night. I'm just asking to just pump the brakes slightly.
Well, as Adam Silver would say, this is a highlight-driven league, okay? So we talk about the highlights when we need to.
Later.
We will. It was actually one of the most ridiculous things I saw yesterday. We'll get to it.
As I call him the worst commissioner of all commissioners right now, currently
in
sports.
He's pretty bad.
I'm never going to let you, like Mike White, the greatest. He looked like the greatest quarterback I've ever seen.
His first ever start.
Better than Matt Flynn that one time?
It was close. Matt Flynn did look pretty good. 400
Nick
yards.
Foles that one time?
The Jets' first and only 400-yard passer since 2000, by the way.
I mean, that speaks more to the Jets.
I mean, was that Chad Pennington back then? Love Chad.
Chad Pennington was sick, though. I love him and Wayne Corbett and Lavernius Coles.
There you go. Him and Randy Moss at Marshall, right?
Oh, yeah.
Chad, there you go. Yeah. More from Daryl the Moose Johnson.
The Randy ratio.
There you go. Daryl Moose Johnson, who joined us earlier, talking about...
Mike White, you guys.
You know, he expects the Niners now with the hurt quarterback to go back to a heavy run situation this week.
You know, Greg Olsen made the comment during the course of the broadcast. It used to be my favorite play, and it was that wide zone run out to the perimeter where the tight end and Kyle Juszczyk would kind of do a double team. And then depending on how the defender played it, you know, one would climb, the other one would stay engaged. And that used to be one of my favorite plays. And it was just chunk yards, like every time they ran it. And it was kind of funny that last week you kind of saw San Francisco getting back into some of the things that they did back when they didn't have that quarterback that they completely trusted to be able to take them through the game and do everything, you know, from a passing standpoint. So when they were leaning heavy on the run, there were some really cool run concepts that Kyle would use, and maybe we go back to some of that as we get ready to play the Saints on Sunday.
So Bonte talked about one of them when they ran 8 out of 9 times. The one pass was, and I had talked about it the day before, yeah. It was like this screen pass, but it wasn't a screen in the traditional sense where you get the blockers going sideways or whatever. They started going downfield, but it was like an angle route.
Yeah.
It was like a little Texas angle route. It was really cool. They ran it twice in the game. That is a brand new route or whatever, or play. I don't even know how you would describe it. I had never seen that from Shanahan.
I'm calling it now this week, by the way.
Mike White's coming out of retirement and throwing for 500 yards.
He's not retired. He's working out for the team. All right. Let's make that abundantly clear. But there's going to be a bomb to Marquez Valdez-Scantling or someone in this game.
Will he catch it?
Well, that's the question. He's going to be open, and Mac Jones is going to hit him in stride. It's whether or not the receiver catches it. That remains to be seen. But there's going to be an arm talent wow from Mac Jones this Sunday. You better believe it, Carter and Shasky.
When you see him throw that ball.
Brock, you in trouble. It's coming up tonight.
Tony, I was the one that was guilty of getting goofy in the 9 o'clock hour. We're never going to let you live down this Mike White thing. I know I'm hung up on it, but God, it's just funny to me.
Dude, you didn't watch the game in real time then, is what that tells me. He was incredible.
So you were tapped in on Jets-Bengals week 8, huh?
Got that red zone line.
Coming up tonight, 5 o'clock.
Scott, go back to that Jets game.
The Valkyries take on the Minnesota Lynx. You can hear the game right here on 95.7 The Game and the Valkyries channel via the Odyssey app. Oh, I'm tearing up. Just download the app and search Valkyries. You can also watch the game on KPIX Plus. Free game starts at 4:30.
So now I'm like imagining like 20 years from now, Spadoni's like, he's like telling whatever the version is of the young Spadoni across from him, right, who's super young. You didn't see Philip Rivers and Mike White play. They were the greatest of their generation. Philip Rivers and Mike White. And then Matt Jones, he just didn't get a chance. He just didn't get a chance. I tell you, blow it up.
That's how you felt about the Giants a couple months ago.
I know.
Blow it up.
I was wrong.
By the way, Mike White in that game, 37 of 45, 82% completion percentage, 400 yards.
It's still not better than Phil Simms in the Super Bowl.
I'd rather be Mike White.
Like, Phil Simms did it in the Super Bowl.
He's comparing Mike White to Phil Simms.
No, but you're talking about great individual performances, and it's like, what about Brady throwing for 200 yards in the fourth quarter against the Legion of Boom? Like, this is what I say. Like, can we have a little perspective? Just a little.
You know who's got great perspective on things? And we saw him at the Red and Gold Summit. Looked incredible in that jersey. It's Leroy in Oakland.
Oh, what's up, Leroy?
Leroy's got perspective. And I know Leroy in Oakland.
I have beef, though, with Leroy.
Hold on, real quick.
He says his wife doesn't like me, and now I'm like, I'm mad. I want to be liked.
I was also third from last in
that
one.
I
listened to the whole ranking system.
What did I do?
Leroy, you're not panicking, right?
I am not panicking, but for different reasons. Good morning, guys. Man,
what's up,
you guys
man?
Are always killing it as usual. So, look, you guys know I have killed Shanahan for years and years. I thought he should have been gone a long time ago, but I am coming around by default. The pundits, everybody around the league, coaches, they tell me how great Shanahan is, how much he's respected. They got my arm behind my back and they're and I'm like, okay, All right. I get it. Fine. Fine. Okay. Shanahan's the 49ers coach. I'm a 49ers fan. Okay. I get it from everybody that loves Cal Shanahan. I'm coming around. Okay. So why I am not fearful is because Kyle Shanahan is not injured. He is healthy. And so since he runs his team the way he wants to run it, as long as he's healthy, we have a chance. But I'm just going to wait and see. I'm going to stop talking about my coach. I'm going to stop getting on him. I'm just going to wait this season and try to enjoy this season, and I'm going to watch Kyle Shanahan to see how he navigates this because, hey, he's got a big task ahead of him. He's got a big task ahead of him with all these injuries and all this stuff going on. So, you know, I'm going to get off my coach kind of by default, and I'm just going to watch and see if he can navigate this, period. Now, Shasky, I pressed my wife the other day. Chesky said, why don't you like him? He wants to know why.
Yeah, I feel bad.
She took about 3 minutes of waffling and stuttering, and she said, he just doesn't seem set in his opinions, like his opinions can be swayed. I said, babe, you got the wrong guy. He is the last guy that opinion can be swayed. And she went, I'm going to listen. I'm going to start listening. So she's listening right now.
Oh, Jackie. Tell her thank you.
Okay, I'm going to start listening.
You know what, Leroy? This is growth of society. She's giving me a chance.
There you go.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Hey, look, my wife hated me when she first met me in grammar school. Oh. Took me about 20 years to win her over.
Still, I think you're still trying to.
Well, another 20 years, you know, we'll be a little more even relationship. We are 15 years in.
You know, it's great.
I'm an acquired taste.
You know what?
It's like coffee.
It's not going to take long for Niner fans to, you know, come around on Mac Jones.
I love you, Roy.
It's gonna come in week.
Oh, he throws one touchdown.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to be like, McCorkle!
I'm telling you, he's going to...
Should have been the number three pick!
Remember this, guys. He's going to throw a bomb. It's going to be a long touchdown, and people are going to be like, oh my God. And Sam, he kind of made the joke.
But can I ask you a question?
We love the long ball,
no,
Joe.
Of course
and
we
we're going to be like, I don't know if Brock can do that. I promise you that's...
Dude, he just did it to Pearsall!
But not the way that... Not the way that Mac throws the ball. He has a better arm. He does. He has a stronger arm.
Okay, but yeah. Like he just... Okay, whatever. Can I ask you this?
Please.
I want you to be as sincere as possible.
Yeah, I'm always
if
sincere.
If you believed so much...
Sincere McCormick.
If you believed so much in Mac, why did you feel it necessary to break off Brock so much money?
Well, what Purdy means to this team is way different than what Mac Jones means to this team. Like Brock Purdy has the pelts on the wall.
But from a team-building aspect, knowing how much it costs, I'm just asking, like, fundamentally. I'm not holding
because
you to
because it
would
be a horrible look, Joe.
What?
Like, are you saying, like, why not just, like, pay Purdy nothing? Like,
If you were building a team, would you rather have the quarterback making $3 million? Like, I think everyone would.
Yes.
As opposed to the quarterback making
$150,000. But that's not reality.
Okay.
Reality is you have to pay the quarterback when he performs. That's what today's society is. Like, I'm not going to keep putting him on the franchise tag. Like, you don't do that. It's bad business. And it signifies to the rest of the people around the league, kind of like what people are thinking about the Cowboys right now, they come off as cheap.
Okay, but they did that
That's
to Juwan Jennings. They kind of did that to Juwan
Jennings. Yeah, but Juwan Jennings is a wide receiver
no,
three
I
around
I understand
the
that.
Or a wide
it's
receiver
different.
Two.
It's totally different. You don't treat the secretary the same way as the CFO.
Correct.
Like, I understand that. I'm just asking, like, because I was, like, very... Like, hey, you got to be careful how much you pay him. Like, he deserves a pay raise. He's earned it. I'd keep him. But, like, the amount of money you give him, you know, like, because there are some red flags. Not that you don't want him. You do want him. But you need to insulate yourself with some opt-outs. And you need to spread the money out accordingly. And then he got the deal. And everyone's like, oh, it's good. We're not even going to dissect it. When everyone around the league was like, yeah, you gave him too much.
Well, that's what we do.
Niner fans just didn't want to hear it.
People laughed when Jared Goff made all that money. When you think of like, yo, he overpaid, we overpaid. We'll see.
No, we do that to other teams, but we refuse to do it within.
That's what we do. I thought Leroy in Oakland had a good point, though, when it came to Kyle Shanahan. It was measured. It was like, hey, listen, I'm going to back off a little bit. We're going to see with this number two quarterback, and we're going to see if he can weather this September storm of potentially 5 weeks. Remember, Ian Rapoport, NFL Network's reporting, at minimum, Brock's going to be out the next 2 weeks, and it could be up to five. So we'll see there. And if Mac Jones, you know, they go 2-2, they go 2-1, 1-2, like, I'm very curious to see the reaction from the fans when it comes to the head coach because he is so polarizing. What's up? What do you see?
Well, Schefter's talking about Mac Jones right now on the Pat McAfee show. So if we can pull some of that audio, I'd appreciate it, boys. I'm producing on air because I'm so multi-talented.
Oh, wow.
Way it's a joke. That was a joke.
That was Kendrick Lamar of you. That was very humble. Adam Schefter tweeted this 4 years ago. After the draft took place in 2021 where Trey Lance went to the Niners and Mac Jones went to the Patriots. This was Adam Schefter 4 years ago. Quote, one of the many reasons why the 49ers traded up to the number three spot in this year's NFL draft was their belief that the Patriots could trade up to number three and beat them to Alabama quarterback Mac Jones. League sources told ESPN. The Pats didn't, but still got their man.
You know what would be hilarious? And this is, let's laugh a little. We need to laugh because society's been sad and yeah, the real life, laughing. There's been a lot of sadness.
Sure.
Before the game, Mac Jones is warming up and Kyle walks over and does the Harbaugh thing to him and like starts banging the shoulder pads and they're like finger gunning each other. And then after a touchdown pass, they jump up and hug. We would have been like, all right, it was Mac Jones all along, right? If that happened.
Moose Johnston thinks that Mac could benefit from a change of scenery. You want to listen to what Moose had to tell us?
I agree with him. There you Jacksonville go. Stinks.
Mac comes, you know, as a 15th pick overall in his college draft. You know, sometimes a change of scenery is the most important thing. So to get out of New England, who was going through a really, really tough time at that point, it's tough to take over from the greatest of all time, right? So a lot of pressure there. It's going to be challenging for Mac to be able to create his own identity and his own style, you know, in New England. I think it was probably beneficial for him, you know, to get down to Jacksonville last year. That's another opportunity to get around different coaches' styles, to get more information, you know, to see how other people approach, you know, offensive football in the NFL. And now he's with a group that I think he kind of fits well into the skill set that they look for in the quarterback.
Change of scenery is important. That's what we're talking about with, you know, that's what 49er fans are at. Maybe they don't care. But maybe Jake Moody, maybe gets another chance and a change of scenery. It helps him somewhere. Eddie Pinheiro, I don't think needed a change of scenery. He was doing just fine as a kicker with the Carolina Panthers. They just had a new regime, and now he's coming over here, and hopefully it's going to be the same of what he was doing in Carolina. Change of scenery is important with any position, but especially the quarterback. Sam Darnold had to get out of those toxic
Christian
McCaffrey had to get out of those situations, right? So we'll give that to Mac, but I will say this. I'm very proud of the 49ers fan base today because most of our calls have actually been pretty optimistic about this team.
We have no other choice.
No, you could say the season's over. Some people might feel that.
No one will concede in week two.
Well, no, because I think they have belief in their head coach is what I'm getting at.
Well, you should.
Thank you. They should have belief in Kyle
But you can also understand that the road ahead is difficult.
It is.
Whether you're fully healthy or not.
But there are few coaches more equipped than Kyle Shanahan to weather this type of storm. Could you agree on that? Like, I don't know if there's other...
Yeah, there's like six.
Right? There's probably like
McVay, yeah, he's one of them.
Reed, O'Connell. Exactly. He's one of those five or six guys who's like, okay, thank God we have Kyle Shanahan. Because if, like, let's say this happens to Todd Bowles.
Yeah, he's in trouble.
Yeah, he's in trouble. Exactly. That's what I'm getting at.
You know, he's a defense coordinator.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is why
he's
viewed this way.
To be fair, you know, they lost a lot of players last year, Tampa Bay, and they found a way to make the playoffs.
But they did keep their guy. Baker Mayfield's
no doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
The quarterback, so.
But they did miss, like, I mean, they were missing everyone. I mean, if they have one extra player, they might be the Niners. The judo chop game.
By the way, we did mention it. I mentioned the name. I do have to hear Kyle Shanahan's thoughts on the decision, and I'm not going LeBron James, but the decision to waive Jake Moody, Kyle Shanahan.
I think by where it got to, there wasn't that much of a decision. It's always tough with that, you know, especially when you have a talented guy. I have some experience with that in my past. I remember when I was in Washington, I didn't have that experience, and our kicker lost us a game. And I remember how adamant I was when I went into the head coach's office and said, you need to make a change. Like, what are we doing? He snapped at me and said, you know, no kickers. This guy's really talented. We got to give him some time. And I'm not going to watch him go be a Pro Bowler for somewhere else, someone else. Then 2 weeks later, he missed a kick and lost us a game. So I felt like validated. I was like, I told you. Which I was right for like a day, because then the next year he went on to be a Pro Bowler and the highest paid kicker in the league for the next 3 years for another team. So those are things that you kind of think about. It's tough with a kicker. I think Jake's got a chance to have a hell of a future. He is that talented. But when it gets to that spot where it is, we all know how last year ended. We know how everyone was looking at him. And obviously when it gets to that point, you can see it affecting him from a mental game. Then you don't have much choice. Yeah, you got to move on, and hopefully Eddie will come in here and do the job.
He's talking about his dad as the coach.
No, his dad is.
And Graham Gano is the kicker.
Hey, his dad told him to shut up, basically. Go drink a juice box, Kyle. Get out of this. Get out of here. But that clearly, that same situation, he doesn't want that to happen. That's why he kept Jake. Because it happened, because he got rid of Graham Gano and he became a Pro Bowler. He's like, he's afraid that Jake's now going to go on to be a Pro Bowler. He didn't want to have to do that. He didn't, but change of scenery is important.
You know, maybe Jake is a Pro Bowler down the line somewhere.
Not here.
It's just not. It's
just not going to be here.
I mean,
I know.
What, come on.
Hey, Kyle, was it hard to have that conversation with the guy?
I don't think it's that hard to have, because I think it is what it is. I mean, I think he knows he wouldn't disagree with us. I mean, he'd have to say why, but it looked like he lost his confidence and he wasn't kicking the ball well enough, and it was way too inconsistent. So once that happens, and when your stroke in golf is changing all the time and you're trying to fix things, trying not to miss, it's very hard to succeed at this level that way. And there wasn't anything I had to beat around the bush on. He knew that, and to a degree, I think this will give him a chance to move on and hopefully find a place where he can get his swag back in that way.
It wasn't that hard. See ya. Deuces.
How do you think that conversation went?
Yeah, Jake, I know that you didn't want it to be this way, and I'm sorry you missed those kicks, but we have to let you go. You see how I deflected all the blame? I didn't take any accountability. I said it's all your fault. But he said it in a nice way.
Brent Boyer wants you out of here.
You don't think he took any accountability there? Since it's all Brent Boyer?
I mean, it would. I remember the old school coaches, you know, the Bill Parcells. You're cut. You're fired. You're gone. See ya.
Vince McMahon. You're fired.
Well, I was thinking more Trump, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You're fired.
You're fired. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Fired. He is. He's gone. See you later. Actually, he was waived, so someone else can pick him up via waivers if you want. Wave. See you later. It's almost more disrespectful to get waived than cut, in a way. By the way, we do have a major announcement that we have to get to, because we teased it. Starting tomorrow, Joe. Because you know how we had to shift Bonte from Fridays to Tuesday. So Bonte's every single Tuesday starting at 8 o'clock. So we got the double dose on Tuesdays of Baldy at 7:30, and then Bonte for 2 hours in studio, courtesy of River Islands, starting at 8. So that left Fridays wide open. And starting tomorrow, around this time, we got our own crossover starting.
With who?
With Matt Steinmetz and Daryl the Guru Johnson. That's right. A double crossover between the Morning Roast and Steiny and Goo.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Every Friday, 9:45.
I love that.
Lock in.
Love that.
Can't wait for that.
Their YouTube chat is just destroying Guru. You guys got to back off him.
Yeah, leave my guy alone.
But I will read one of the funniest comments I think I've ever seen.
You guys need to back off. I'm going to read one of the comments.
Goo thinks PTO, the T stands for Thursday. Paid Thursdays off. That's funny. I mean, that's fun. And I love you, Goo, but that's fun. You can laugh.
Hey, Goo, let it be known, I didn't laugh at that. I also don't laugh at Fast Five. Got Carter, just, that was a layup.
I mean,
smoked it.
He had both hands in his face because of my joke.
Your last chance to get in on the Morning Roast. Brought to you
by
Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Oh, yeah.
I'll leave this off.
Please.
My final thought is I want to say happy birthday to my niece, Megan. And she's just... Sweethearts, my what's that?
How old?
18 or 19?
Nice.
I think it's 19 today. Yeah. Let me double check. I know we're getting old.
No, that must be nice.
I'm going to give it to you right now. Yeah. Sorry, you really threw me on the spot. It doesn't say.
I'm really just butchering this. Sorry,
I know. Well, I just want to say happy birthday to Megan, Michelle's goddaughter. We love her dearly. She's a sweetheart. She's at Marquette right now, and she's just been an angel to my little guy and a very important member of the family that we all love. And you know, birthdays as you get older don't mean as much, but when you're that age. Just be careful. Have fun. I also want to give a shout-out birthday to Davon, my other cousin. And, you know, being born on 9/11 at a young age, it sucks. There's just no other way around it for him. Like, it's a day of remembrance, obviously. Love you, Day-Day. And that brings me to 9/11. I remember exactly where I was. A lot of people lost their lives. A lot of people valiantly demonstrated courage and what you would want from someone in a time of crisis, showcasing that hero aspect, going in without hesitating to try to save others. I think that it's not necessarily just about the incident itself and all the blowout. It's about the individual acts and the community coming together and connecting. That is what makes society special and a community special. And as we open the show today with a lot of like deep thoughts and everything, I'm going to steal this one from Ryan Covey. Ryan, I miss you. I love you. Just be good to each other. You know, that's what makes a good community for the next generation. I love everybody.
My final thought is I'm very proud of, and that was well said, the 49ers fan base. I'm very proud of them today. No panic. Open-minded. You know you got your head coach. Mac Jones is a capable backup. Yes, it sucks for Brock, and you paid him all this money, and we're going to monitor this. Because, Joe, as you mentioned, if it does get to like five games, there's going to be major question marks about his future on this team already. Which,
that's insane.
Well, it sounds insane until like the proof is in the pudding. Like, you miss basically like a third or half your year if it comes on to that. Like, if you need surgery, I don't know. There's major question marks right now. And hopefully, it's just 2 weeks. He's back. Looks like the same old Brock. That would be awesome. That's what we're all hoping for. But in the meantime, we got Michael McCorkle Jones starting this week in Nollins. And everyone's freaking out about the noise, the crowd noise. The guy played in the SEC. All right? The guy's played in some loud environments. I get it. You're going to tell me, the COVID year. I'm not. But he's played in some incredibly loud environments in his time. I think he's going to be just fine. Hey, he's played in Buffalo. But it's like a snowstorm. Right? The guy's more than capable, Carter.
Yeah, my final thought of the day is it's just incredible how this team has not managed to get one person to have a successful season after they've paid him big money. I cannot come up with one. I mean, can you guys?
Well, successful is, you know, they did get to the Super Bowl after they paid Nick Bosa.
But successful meaning that they've had a better year prior.
Raheem Mostert got an extension and was immediately not the same.
Yeah, it hasn't happened with anybody. I mean, the answer might be for this team, just give out one-year contracts.
Actually, you know what? 2 years after the extension, Jimmy had his best year ever. Yep.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
He did tear his ACL, though, like weeks after signing that deal.
Kansas City.
So he didn't.
Kansas City. Never forget. They were coming back in that game, too, remember? They were coming back in that Kansas City game.
They were not coming back. They were getting destroyed.
He was leading the team down the field to start a comeback, Sam. You remember that well. I was at the Hooters when it happened.
That's a drop. My final thought is, man, Carson Seymour's got to stop giving up home runs. Tough loss yesterday for the Giants.
And doubles.
And just singles. Hits in general. He should do what he did against the Cardinals and just not give up hits. I really like that strategy for him in his next start. I'm glad the Giants didn't blow it up because they showed some fight yesterday. I'll say this. A month ago, yesterday would have been a 5-0 loss. But they showed some fight late and almost maybe sort of kind of made the Diamondbacks sweat a little bit in the ninth inning. But alas, shout out the Phillies doing the Lord's work, beating the Mets last night. Giants still two games back. And, big one this weekend.
And they've been overtaken in the standings. They're technically tied, but the Cincinnati Reds with a big win over the Padres. As Fleming was telling us yesterday, Sammy, that we should have actually, if you're a Giants fan, root for the Padres over the Reds. The red hot Reds. Red Hots, by the way.
That's an unfun fly in the ointment.
Red
right
Hots
there.
Suck as a candy. Hot tamales are okay, but I'm not really a huge fan of either of those. That was Fast Five, brought to you by Xfinity. Introducing the 5-year price guarantee. One consistent internet price for the next 5 years. Guaranteed. Goo coming up. I just saw him. He's barging in here. He's got all the takes in the world. I'm sure he's nervous about the Purdy injury. Steiny's going to be like, the 49ers are fine. They got Mac Jones.
Steiny's super happy right now.
He's locked in. Steiny and Goo next. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.